In a very tight race, Wisconsin has a new Democratic governor and its first African-American lieutenant governor. And they'll need to work with an even more heavily Republican legislature.
In an even tighter contest, Democrat Josh Call is claiming victory as Wisconsin's new attorney general. And U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin handily defeated State Senator Leah Vukmir, despite a lot of outside spending for both candidates.
WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson joins us after a very late night and early morning to talk about results. Sean, thanks so much for coming in.
Good afternoon.
Have you slept at all?
A little bit.
Here and there, right? Well, Governor Walker has conceded as of this afternoon. What did he have to say?
He had to say that he spoke with Tony Evers. I'll just read you a quote from the governor's statement that he put out. Quote, thanks to Tony Evers for his gracious comments on our call today. I offered the full support of my staff and our cabinet as he begins the transition process. The governor goes on to say, quote, finally, thank you to the voters of the great state of Wisconsin. It has been my honor to serve as your governor for nearly 8 years. So, a very clear, unambiguous concession there. We didn't get to hear him deliver it from a stage last night. He said that they were still kind of evaluating their options as Milwaukee votes were coming in late in the evening. But there was no doubt about it here. You know, there was some talk that he might ask for a recount, depending on what happened, but totally ruled that out today. Tony Evers, governor-elect of Wisconsin.
Well, and you mentioned the recount after Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate for president in 2016, requested a recount in Wisconsin. There was a new law passed and signed into law by Governor Walker dealing with the issue of recounts. What does that say?
It would have, under the current margins, prevented the governor, had he wanted a recount, it would have prevented him from asking for it. Under the law that he signed, any candidate that was more than a percent behind the leader in a race would be prohibited from asking for a recount. So it didn't come up in this case, but Governor Walker ended up the evening about 1.15% behind Tony Evers, which was enough to put him out of that recount range.
So looking at how different districts and counties voted, was this a case of Walker losing support in areas he carried previously, or maybe more of Evers making inroads in traditionally red areas, or really beefing up support in blue places?
Evers definitely beefed up support in blue places. I mean, if you look at what he did in Dane County and what Tammy Baldwin did in Dane County, too, or for that matter, the Democratic machine in Dane County is stronger than it's ever been. There are just more Democratic voters here than ever before. Evers was polling like 75% in Dane County. Tammy Baldwin was like up to 78%. I mean, Barack Obama did not see those numbers, and he was sort of the standard for what a Democratic victory in Wisconsin could look like. And yet here we have Evers and Baldwin just kind of redefining success in Dane County. That stood out. I think Walker's performance in the wow counties in suburban Milwaukee, Washington, Waukesha, Ozaukee, they were down specifically in Waukesha, which is the biggest of those in terms of votes. Walker still did well there, but he didn't do up to his own standards. I mean, we've seen what it looks like when Governor Walker wins a statewide election in 2010, in 2012, in 2014. He's usually up around 72% of the vote in Waukesha County. He was more around 66% last night. That's a big drop off in terms of numbers. And I think those two counties tell you a lot about why things ended up the way they did.
So it was a very close election, as we said, only about a percentage point and a half between Evers and Walker. Do we have a sense of what issues pushed Evers over the top with Wisconsin voters?
The exit polling, the early exit polling that I saw, and, a grain of salt, whenever you're talking about exit polling, has a wide margin of error. But people were saying that their top issue was health care. And who talked about health care more than anyone else in this race? Democrats. Tony Evers talked about it. Tammy Baldwin talked about it. Third party groups talked about it. They talked specifically about protections for pre-existing conditions that are part of the Affordable Care Act, and stressed that Governor Walker, through his lawsuit that would that seeks to overturn the Affordable Care Act, would take those protections away. It was a significant enough issue that Walker really engaged on it and pushed back and said, okay, yes, I want to get rid of Obamacare, but I support this state bill that would have pre-existing conditions protections. What we know, I guess, is that that issue was in people's minds as they left in these exit polls. And we know that Evers talked about it a lot.
And our governor-elect Tony Evers and lieutenant governor-elect Mandela Barnes talking yet about what their top priorities will be come January.
It sounds like today they are talking generally about... Tony Evers said that he'd reached out to Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, the Republican leader of the state Senate, and Speaker Robin Voss, the Republican leader of the state Assembly. They will remain in those positions, barring something completely unexpected. You know, their caucuses actually choose who their leaders are. But usually when leaders emerge from an election like this and they still have their majorities, they get to keep their jobs if they want it. Nothing real specific at this point from Evers. He has to pick a transition team. Then he has to start piecing together a cabinet. And, you know, that'll give people a sense of what kind of an administration he's going to have. Whatever he does, he's going to have that legislature who's going to see things differently, probably on a lot of issues. He's going to send them a lot of things that they want nothing to do with. They're going to send him a lot of bills that he's going to veto.
We're talking with WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson right now about last night's election results. And Sean, the governor's race clearly was close. The race for attorney general was even closer. Where are we at with that right now?
So as of right now, that one is not quite as resolved as the governor's race. From what we've heard from Attorney General Brad Schimmel, I mean, he can see that the election didn't quite go his way. Josh Call leads in that race, according to unofficial results, by about 23,000 votes. So he would be within that recount margin. It's less than a percent between them. But 23,000 votes isn't nothing. I mean, Donald Trump won Wisconsin by about 23,000 votes. And remember, Trump's victory was the reason that recount laws were changed. It was thought that was kind of a waste of money to do a recount when President Trump had that large of a margin in Wisconsin. So I think Attorney General Schimmel has said he wants to see the official canvas of the election results, which is essentially each county going through and verifying their numbers and sending them to the state.
And when might that be?
It could be as soon as next week, I believe, although it wouldn't have to be. But I think next week could be when you start to see that.
And let's move on to the U.S. Senate race. Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin won easily over Republican challenger Leah Vukmir. Any surprises there?
Her margin was pretty substantial. I mean, it was not close in that race. Tammy Baldwin had about an 11-point margin over Leah Vukmir. If you were watching the Marquette polls and taking them as gospel throughout this, which we're often cautioned not to, but in this case, Marquette got it right. I mean, their last poll had the race for governor a tie. You know, somebody has to win. Evers won by about a percent. Marquette's last poll had Tammy Baldwin up 11 points, and there she sits with an 11-point victory. Tammy Baldwin did have a more broad-based victory than Tony Evers. I mean, she won more counties in western and southwestern Wisconsin. I guess that's what sticks out as you look at this map. But beyond that, she also had even better performance in Dane County. I mean, 78% of the vote in Dane County to get up to near 80% of the vote in a county where the population is growing is, I think, something that Democrats have to look at and feel all right about. I mean, a lot of elections have not gone their way over the last decade, obviously, but there's a powerhouse of votes there in Dane County that seems to be growing.
A lot of money was spent on behalf of both candidates by outside groups. Who was lining up behind Vukmir and Baldwin?
Yeah, Vukmir and Baldwin... I think in Baldwin's case, she raised a lot of money on her own. I mean, her campaign was a very aggressive fundraiser, kind of took matters into their own hand. A lot of the outside money was spent against Tammy Baldwin before this general election contest even started. I mean, before Republicans even knew who their nominee was going to be, there was outside money being spent against Tammy Baldwin. And you did for a little time see it kind of bringing her favorability rating down a bit. But, you know, you never got the sense that Leah Vukmir emerged from that GOP primary with Kevin Nicholson with much momentum. You know, she actually went down as the race progressed from that primary. So it just seemed like that one was never in doubt from a distance.
We're getting results and analysis of last night's statewide results from WPR's Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Did any of the outcomes surprise you? We had big turnout in Wisconsin. Were you part of that? Were you excited to cast your ballot for whichever candidate? Did you split your ticket? I'm going to ask you this a lot. There are people out there, a decent number of people who voted for a Democrat in one race, Republican in another, vice versa. Love to hear from you if that's you. What are you hoping for from now a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature? Is there an issue you think they could work together on? Maybe roads, healthcare, education. What do you think? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org.
We'll pick up the conversation after a short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson.
And I'm Rob Ferrett. WPR's Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson is with us. He's on 24-hour detail to discuss last night's results and what they mean for Wisconsin.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you happy with how things turned out last night? Did you vote? Why or why not? What do you think a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature will mean for Wisconsin going forward? Call 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas at WPR.org. Let's finish up with the congressional races. All the incumbents, Sean, in Wisconsin's congressional delegation won re-election if they were running. The only open seat was in the first congressional district, which is Paul Ryan's. What happened there?
What happened there was that the Republican won. Brian Stile defeated Randy Bryce in that district. And, you know, for all the attention that one got nationally here and here in Wisconsin, that was not a close race. Brian Stile had about 55% of the vote to Randy Bryce's 43% of the vote. And we knew that was a Republican district. It got a lot of attention in part because it was Speaker Ryan's. And once President Trump became President Trump and Speaker Ryan was Speaker Ryan, there was a whole lot of attention and money given to Randy Bryce as he announced he was going to challenge Speaker Ryan. Once Speaker Ryan bowed out of the race, I mean, it changed the characteristics of that race. And Brian Stile, the Republican candidate, got, you know, kind of Republican numbers in that district, which is, if you set aside all the backstory, it's kind of what you'd expect.
Let's go to the phones, and Jeff in Superior is up. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, thank you. I've been listening to your coverage even last night. I thought it was very well balanced. You had Republican analysts as well as Democratic analysts even before the results were known. So thank you for doing that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, and my reaction is I really appreciated hearing from Bill McCaution in Madison because he's a Republican strategist, but he's pretty down to earth. And he knows what it's like to work even in Northwest Wisconsin with the policy needs that are needed in this area. And my opinion is this. I think there is Walker fatigue. And I think even some Republicans who like Trump are glad Walker's gone. A lot of drama and a lot of that. So this is an opportunity for the Republican Party to go in a whole nother direction without antagonizing the teachers or threatening government employees by taking their pension money, stuff like that. So I think really this is a watershed moment for Wisconsin. It's going to be everyone's going to be looking forward. There's going to be an opportunity for Democrats and Republicans to come together and actually work on infrastructure and do some things that are practical for everyday Wisconsinites. And we'll just put the past behind us. That's my opinion.
All right. Thanks so much for those thoughts, Jeff. And let's go now to Bob in Madison. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. What do you want to say?
Good. Well, you know what? I had an opportunity to meet a lot of the candidates along the way. I was an unannounced candidate for lieutenant governor, and I'm so glad that I didn't choose to run. I'm very happy with the selection of Mandela. I think with the experience Mandela had in the state legislature and the people that he knows there and the fact that he's a person of color and Tony's disposition, I see an extreme willingness, and it is not my hope or my expectation that we'll be able to demand that we get some nonpartisan cooperation. I think that the Republicans will be eager to achieve that if we don't go after the issues that are most important at this particular point in time and get cooperation from those people. They're going to be easy targets in the next election cycle. So I'm beyond hopeful. I'm expectant. And I know that I personally have enough influence, or want to believe that I do, that I can help move in that direction.
Thanks for that comment, Bob. And Sean, let's talk about that balance that we're going to have, because the Evers-Barnes ticket is Democratic, but the Wisconsin State Senate and Assembly remain Republican. And the balance even changed a bit in the legislature.
In the Senate, we were watching in particular because, you know, there was a chance the Democrats could flip that chamber if they picked up, if they flipped two seats and didn't lose any of their own. What happened is that the seats that they targeted, they fell short. The closest they got was in the 5th State Senate District in Milwaukee and Waukesha County, so suburban Milwaukee, where Dale Coinga won his race by less than 3%, which kind of illustrates that suburban issue that Republican voters have right now in the age of Trump. But what Republicans were able to do, though, they won the first state Senate district. That was the district that had the special election this past summer. Caleb Frostman in that special election defeated Andre Jacques. In the rematch, Andre Jacques defeated Caleb Frostman. So he's going to be Senator Jacques. And so a 19-14 majority in the Senate. I don't know what that means for the Senate. I mean, Andre Jacques is somebody who's shown a willingness to buck party leadership. There's already, I think you could say, four Republican state senators who have shown a willingness to do that. Maybe he gets added to that caucus in some votes. And so in a way, you talk about like reaching a bipartisan issue or a bipartisan agreement, excuse me. What Tony Evers has said about road funding is very similar to what Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has said about road funding. I mean, there's not a lot of daylight between them, really. All options should be on the table. You've kind of heard that from both of them. And so maybe the Assembly could reach an agreement with Governor Evers on road funding. But I'm not so sure about the Senate, because there are enough senators in there to block anything that has a tax increase in it. And, you know, with I think with the addition of Senator Jacques, I'm not sure that's going to change. I mean, it may be that he gives them more veto power, depending on the issue.
Let's go back to the phones. And Jerry in Appleton is up. Hi, Jerry.
Hello. I'm Jerry in Appleton. And I think the most significant result of this election is not right now, but going forward into 2020, when the census is done and then there's redistricting. The fact that Tony Evers won the governor race will have an impact on redistricting. And you can see that result in many of the elections for the Assembly and the Senate around the state, that the districts are very gerrymandered. And so I'm hopeful that we will start to see bringing together these districts that will cause the electorate to be more moderate.
And thanks for that call, Jerry. Sean, is the redistricting issue something that is likely to be affected?
Absolutely, because the next governor will have the power to sign or veto whatever maps the legislature draws up after the 2020 census. So in 2011, Governor Scott Walker signed the maps that were drawn by Republicans. And, you know, maps, district lines are not the only factors in legislative races, but they're pretty important. And if you look back at the last decade, they have helped Republicans hang on to those majorities for the past decade. We just had a 50-50 election, basically, in Wisconsin, where a Democrat won in the race for governor. More like a 55% race for the Democrat in the race for U.S. Senate. And yet the legislature is going to be under Republican control. They gained a seat in the Senate. I mean, I think that illustrates the power of district lines as one factor among many when it comes to these races. So, yes, Tony Evers will have the power to veto any kind of map if Republicans are in control after the 2020 census and they send something to his desk. And if that's the case, then this ends up getting resolved in court, most likely.
I want to turn to how many people voted. Voter turnout across the country was much higher than usual for a midterm election. What about here in Wisconsin?
It was more than a typical midterm, less than a presidential. So we're still not looking at what we normally would get during a presidential race, but certainly higher than when Governor Walker was first elected in 2010.
And very briefly, were there areas that showed especially high turnout?
I keep coming back to Dane, but it's just really, really noteworthy. Dane had very big turnout, and when you know, 75% to 78% of that turnout is going to the Democratic candidates. That is a huge factor in a, what was a very close election. You know, really can't overstate it. It almost sounds like a lazy analysis to say, like, well, you know, Dane County votes for Democrats. We've said that for years. But really, in this election, you're seeing Dane County increase its significance in statewide elections.
And, Sean, in the couple months before the new administration takes office, are we likely to see efforts to solidify priorities of the Walker team as they're on their way out?
They have a chance, Republicans do, to call an extraordinary session. The legislative leaders have said they might do that before the end of the year. And they can kind of decide what they want to talk about in that session. I mean, they said that they would do it to deal with this bill that would give Foxconn-style incentives to Kimberly Clark. But there's nothing saying that legislative leaders couldn't expand that call to other issues, other bills that have passed one house of the legislature. Or, for that matter, there's nothing keeping Governor Walker from calling a special session in his last couple months to you know, deal with something that is unfinished business for him. He hasn't said he's going to do that. I mean, to be clear, the governor's never said he's going to do that, but it's not unheard of. I mean, when Democrats were leaving power in 2010, they called a special session to deal with state employee contracts. These things happen. So, you know, stay tuned for the next couple months. I mean, the governor also has the power to appoint people. He can issue executive orders. There are things that he can do to further cement his legacy. But if you look back, I mean, his legacy is fairly well cemented in Wisconsin. There are laws that he has signed that it will not be easily undone despite a Governor Evers. I mean, Act 10 is law in Wisconsin, voter ID. You could go on and on and on, and all the things that were big issues where Governor Walker has moved the state to the right. And even though we have now have a Democratic governor coming in Madison, it's not going to be easy for Tony Evers to just snap his fingers and change everything back.
Well, Sean, thanks for your work last night, this morning, and this afternoon.
You're very welcome.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capital Bureau Chief. He joined us to look at last night's election results.